Hi, it's Rallo, your vet fan. You're about to listen to an episode of our podcast. Neat! Did you know you can financially support the Guild via both Anchor Support and Patreon? That's right, you can help us do more cool stuff like this episode you're about to listen to. To support us on Anchor, go to anchor.fm/calamitouspodcast/support or go to patreon.com/guildpodcast. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the episode.
Incoming Guild transmission. Toad, Mike, India, Romeo, Alpha, Charlie, Lima, Echo. Welcome to the Guild of Calamitous podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Rallo. I'm your spooky vet fan.
I'm Garden. I am your vaguely sick baby fan.
This is Guild of Calamitous podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast. I am currently wearing a heifer costume from Rocko's Modern Life.
And I am in bed with a cup of tea because my dumbass managed to get a cold. And yeah. I'm miserable.
We are simultaneously doing both a bones day and a no bones day for those who are keeping track.
Such a no bones day. I'm sorry, Noodle, I failed you.
I think Noodle would understand. Noodle understands. Noodle gets it.
Noodle gets it. But I had the rest of my weekend was a good bones weekend.
Yeah. So you know,
I'm good with having a no bones day.
Happy Halloween! We are actually recording this the same day that you may be listening to it.
It is, in fact, Halloween.
And it is, in fact, Halloween.
Also known as my favorite holiday.
Everyone's favorite holiday. Come on. I don't know. I really don't know someone who, like, vehemently hates Halloween.
Oh, I actually I'm on the stupid Christians. Next Door app.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a guy who was, like, all salty about people celebrating Halloween, like, over the weekend.
Was he like salty because it was the devil's work, or salty
little column A, little column B?
Oh
yeah,
or like salty just because people are having fun and he doesn't like that.
Yeah, again, little column A, little column B.
Yeah,
because he was salty that people were doing it outside of the day that it's supposed to be, but also that it was the devil's work.
Oh,
and see? So I asked him who pissed in his Cheerios.
See, and that's how you get banned from the Next Door app.
I haven't been yet.
God, I never check Next Door. Like, I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm in it for our neighborhood.
It's a very interesting app.
You learn way too much about your neighbors.
I know.
And just how profoundly broken they are.
The amount of lost dogs.
A lot of lost dogs. A lot of lost pets.
The amount of people who cannot correctly leash their pets.
Well, to be fair,
don't understand that fences exist.
Fences cost money. And a lot of people, like, we have a fence, but that would never keep fucking Milo
in the yard. Your fence is an illusion.
Our fence is an illusion.
People or sheep.
Yeah. It would never keep a dog in.
It would definitely not keep Milo.
No, because Milo's tiny. Like, even then, you know, most fences he could slide through.
I mean, to be fair, so my parents' dog, you know, would jump a 6-foot privacy fence, no questions asked. And there are many memories of my childhood where there's one in particular where Ticket got out of the door at 7 a.m. and I was sprinting trying to follow him, and you're standing outside and eating your cereal, and I'm like, Rallo, where'd he go? And you just pointed mutely.
Yeah.
I vividly remember that, and you were just looking at me like, it's too early for this,
It was too early to be awake.
It was too. You were just like, I'm not a morning person. Chowing down on some Cheerios.
I'm not a morning person.
You were the opposite of a morning person. Like, forget Night Owl. You are the polar opposite of a morning person.
And
you
I'm also not a Night Owl. I'm just a sleepy.
You're a gremlin.
I'm just sleepy.
You're just a sleepy gremlin.
Sleepy all the time. But that leads none of this has to do with the episode we're talking about
today.
No,
it does not.
There's very little that we could come up with to talk about that robot water. Like, I don't know. That doesn't exist in real life. There's no one's ever interacted with robot water.
I mean, so. It's one of those things you're like, there's really nothing that we can go into.
There really isn't. So fucking
strap on and strap in.
Strap on and strap in as we look at today's episode, Faking Miracles, written by Jackson Publick, directed by Jackson Publick. Oh, that's the other thing. There's our lead in. As I stop mid-sentence, Jackson shared on Twitter that they're done with the second draft of the movie.
I saw.
So something venture this way comes. I don't know why my dumbass didn't think to share that.
Because it's a no bones day.
It's a no bones day, even though it's a bones day.
It's
anyway.
It is an ambiguous bone. It's Schrodinger's bones.
Schrodinger's bones day. We are looking at Faking Miracles, both written and directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of February 14th, 2016. Its episode number is 66.
So close.
We're getting there.
Slowly.
Our cast of characters and voice cast for today's episode are as follows. James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture and Phantom Limb. Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson. Michael Center Nicholas as Dean Venture. Chris McCulloch as Hank Venture, the Monarch, Pete White, Pirate Captain, Sergeant Hatred, Dragoon, Dr. Z, Radical Left, Colonel Gentleman, Action Man, and Barnacle Badool. It gets longer every episode. introducing Kristen Milioti as Serena, Doc Hammer as Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, Hitchman 21, Billy Quizboy, and Red Mantle. Mark Gagliardi as Rocco. Hal Lublin as Widewell and Manolo. Kate McKinnon as Redusa. Toby Huss returning as Copycat and Scaramantula. Paul Bucock as Jonas Venture Sr. Paul F. Tompkins as Blue Morpho. And Steven Mortazzi as Viencio. I mispronounced that name. Vincenzo. I can talk. I can read.
Vincenzo.
You know what I mean. Anyway, thus begins a story arc that lasts us all the way through the beginning of season 7. With the Blue Morpho. When we were introduced to the Morpho Cave at the end of last episode. And this episode, well, we get to work with the fallout of that. Blue Morpho was an anti-hero, not unlike Green Hornet, who worked with Team Venture. Original Team Venture. Not
I would say Team less Venture. Worked with and more tolerated. It's a complicated relationship.
It's a complicated relationship that gets more and more complicated, which... is also Blue Morpho was the Monarch's dad.
Like father, and, like son?
And Morpho, question mark. It's a type of butterfly.
I love Morphos. They're so pretty.
Yeah, and they even call back to Spanakopita because they say he doesn't show up in the comics again until they team up to fight L. Ron Hubbard, which, as you all remember, was what original Team Venture was doing when... Rusty was being held ransomed and then thrown a festival. and then we smash cut to the credits
of of fighting L. Ron Hubbard.
I mean, and it brought us one of the best lines, as spoken by a friend of the show, Paul Bucock. Go to hell, Ron. L. Ron. Which iconic. I want that on a shirt.
Okay.
You're like, okay, I can make those.
I can do that.
Go to hell, Ron, L. Ron. Yeah, so while they're messing around in the Morpho lair, we smash cut to the opening title, and then, boom, we're strapped back into the Ventures world in New York. In a city park where Brock and the Venture Boys are exercising.
Hey, stay fit.
And Hank really wants to take anabolic steroids.
Bad idea.
Good on Brock, though, for holding him to a standard of getting fit the right way.
Do not take anabolic steroids unless you are prescribed anabolic steroids for a specific thing.
And also, don't run in, like, dress shoes.
Yeah, that's just a bad idea.
Yeah,
I've had to run in heels. It's a terrible experience.
Yeah, he runs in actual shoes, not sneakers. You're fucking up here, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, old pal.
Friendo. His socks are probably not very good for that either.
No.
Like...
He was vaguely dressed to exercise. Vaguely.
About right? Like, close enough. It's like, dude, shoes are so important. Socks are important. I hate socks, but even I will admit that they have their uses.
Yeah, I don't normally wear socks, but I absolutely wear them if I'm at, like, say, a con.
Oh, so I recently got a... pair of Reebok composite toe combat boots because I need them.
Well,
for
then
cosplay.
You need them.
Yeah, no, I went out without socks on because I was just walking over to like the gas station super fast so I could pick up milk because like we needed milk and we were out, and it was like maybe 200 feet from our front door. And by the time I got back, I had giant blisters. And that night, I went out and I bought boot socks.
Yeah, you need proper. You need proper socks. I mean, I'm wearing socks right now. They are South Park socks. They have Stan on them, and I bought them at Walmart.
Nice. Got shoes are important. Get your proper arch support.
Wear the right shoes and
wear decent socks.
When you're exercising.
Do not cheap out on your socks.
Hank, though, is quickly distracted by the sight of a girl.
Ooh.
The one he attempted to save from drowning while dressed up as Justin Bieber.
Cute girl.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're then met with White Whale's little assistants. Who harpoon tase Hank.
Don't harpoon tase me, bro. Harpoon tasers, though. Of all the, like, ridiculous implements that I've seen on this show,
that's tasers.
One that takes the cake.
Harpoon tasers by whale lice. Because that's what they are.
Yeah. Like, guys... I am willing to suspend my disbelief a lot.
In this show.
In general. I am willing to give you the suspension of my disbelief for as long as you need it. This is pushing it. The whale lice costumes. I can go for the whale lice costumes. I could go for harpoon tasers. The combination. In a public park. That's messing with me a little.
You don't like that?
I don't know if I like it or if I don't like it. It's more of a general unease. Because I imagine that if I ran into someone like that, I would be intimidated. I'm not intimidated by much. I would be intimidated by men in whale lice costumes wielding taser harpoons.
I mean, Brock's not fazed by him because he fucking kills.
At this point, Brock is a demigod, so...
Brock is pretty much a demigod.
He is the whispered name of fear in the night between henchmen.
The whale lice escort Serena back home, where she's... Wide Whale is officially becoming a member of the council. And they're discussing reinstating Dr. Phineas Phage when Dr. Mrs. Whatever now is more distracted by the fact that Monarch's not returning any of her calls or texts, because I guess you get no reception in that basement.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, old basement, a lot of weird, like, all those machines... probably not shielded at all, so you have all sorts of electromagnetic interference with your signal.
Right.
So no, and plus, I forget what the bedrock of New Jersey is, but it's probably not helping either.
No, it's not. But Councilwoman Dr. Mrs. Whatever now, which, accurate.
We're just gonna keep tacking on the titles.
That's what they seem to be doing.
Her esteemed reverence, Councilwoman Dr. Mrs.
Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. I don't. And we see it, but it's also sort of the start of some distancing between Dr. Mrs. and the Monarch that we
see. Which kind of hurts.
Yeah, it hurts to have, because there was this huge power shift.
Oh, yeah. Between them.
She's now his boss.
Which never ends well.
Yeah, so it's leading to a lot of relationship problems. And then the fact that he's also a lower ranking villain. I mean, his EMA level is that of a 4 or 5.
It's plummeting. Like, from where he was, it's not good.
Because he no longer has a henchman army. He has Manolo in 21. And he does not have a cocoon. The sky's the limit. He has a sweet lair. And also a throwaway line is that Vendetta is still missing.
Concerning.
Which is something to keep in mind. Also, we start to see Serena and Rocco and how they interact together. Serena's always just 100% done with his shit.
I would be too.
I mean, some of the shit he says to her, like especially next season, he has some lines where it's like, dude, come on. Way overprotective. And across the way at that old venture pad, me trying to quote the episode and it not working. Look at me falling flat on my face. We see them setting up the Spec Ops division.
Which I'm so happy. Like, rock on, guys.
And it's where they're looking at some of JJ's old inventions that he could possibly put into production.
How do we market this shit?
Like the GoPod, which is a hover vehicle that causes heart murmurs and sterility and rhesus monkeys and does not stop well.
Oops.
Get used to that. We have to deal with that the rest of the season. We have to deal with the GoPod. And among them is a small vial that and contained something that I guess could be described as robot water.
It's a nano fluid, you know. So robot water.
Yeah, robot water. And we also get the callback to the Candiro, which we learned all about in season 1. During Are You There, God? It's Me, Dean.
Oh, God, that's a callback.
Are they native to New York? No, but crazy silver water that goes up the pipe is, Dean, and it crawls up your butt.
Look, I don't think that was JJ's intention to probe his nephew.
Out of all the words I thought you would use in that probe. Sentence, probe was not the one I was expecting.
Look, aliens, magic science shit, anal probes.
Yeah. And even though Dean couldn't finish exercising, Brock, being the good fatherly figure that he is, has agreed to study with Dean, who has his entrance exams tomorrow for Stuyvesant University.
Which hopefully he does okay.
Fingers crossed.
Which, although we also know that those learning beds didn't do shit.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Meanwhile, the Monarch, he's finally contacted by Dr. Mrs. Because he's finally left the lair, to find out that he's been invited to Wide Whale's house for Serena's 18th birthday party. And the Monarch doesn't want to go.
I wouldn't.
But because there's going to be all the people that are underneath Wide Whale.
He's
going to try to figure out who his next hit is. Because they're all going to be there. He does not get the memo about the dress code. And he's told to bring wine. And he's like, I'm going to piss in it. Because that's kind of how the Monarch works.
Monarch. He does not understand.
That's the Monarch charm.
Yeah, it's not that charming. I had to host enough dinner parties that, like, there's a very specific dress code.
Yeah.
You put on that cocktail dress and you will enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. At Tophet Tower, which is, you know, a parody of Trump Tower. We have an all-villain shindig, although no one's in costume, for Serena's 18th birthday party.
It's a birthday party. You don't need to be in costume all the time. Huh? Let loose a little.
And Serena doesn't want to be there. That's the worst part. No, I feel bad for Serena. This is not the party she wanted.
This is all of her dad's friends. This is none of her friends.
She doesn't have any friends. She's not allowed to.
Yeah, which equally sucks.
All she has is Braco, and she doesn't want to be around him either. But there's one thing that used to make her smile. Pizza with extra anchovies from Vincenzo's, which is a pizzeria. Yes, this is a pizzeria who Wide Whale operates out of a bit. We saw it in the previous episode.
It's a money laundering scheme.
Yeah.
How you make money legit, is you run it through an actual business. It's just money laundering.
And he gets the new employee, who is our very own Henry Allen Venture, to make the delivery and to not screw it up, because Wide Whale is the best customer. And the GoPod comes into use.
I mean, rocket. You don't need a license to drive a sterilizing disc.
And No. And also the fact that it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It just crashes when he gets there.
I mean, that's a form of stopping.
It's a type of stopping, yeah.
It's not an elegant stop. It's not a safe stop. But it's a stop nonetheless.
At the same time, the Monarch arrives at Tophet Tower for the party.
In regalia.
In full Monarch regalia with a bottle of wine.
At least he brought the wine.
At least he brought it. He pissed in it, but he brought it.
It really depends on what kind of wine it is. It might actually improve the flavor.
But we can't worry about that shit, because Hank's been recognized by Serena when he delivers the pizza. And the bodyguards.
Oops.
Two of whom Brock killed in the park earlier that day.
Oops.
So they're ready to beat down on Hank, causing him to flee
into
this large apartment and try to hide in one of the many rooms, which is expected because, I mean, he can't catch a fucking break.
No. I also, like, guys, he's delivering a pizza. It's obvious he doesn't know what the hell is going on here.
No, no.
You can't blame the kid for his job.
You could.
You can't blame the job on, like, with the kid.
Don't harpoon tase me, bro. At the party, Dr. Mrs. is approached by a villain called Copycat, whose, I guess, special skill is smooth talking. He always sounds like he's flirting with her.
Yeah, but he's too smooth.
He's too smooth.
I was I was like, I don't like you.
Yeah,
he's red flags.
He's a big red flag. He's a Dean Martin type who is just not. It just oozes this sort of skeeby
bravado.
Yeah. Like, I bet he could sing the shit out of some Sinatra, but otherwise.
I mean, to be fair, most people can sing Sinatra better than Sinatra.
It's not that hard to be better than Sinatra.
He was so flat.
Copycat is interested in joining the Council of 13. He's strictly on business.
Sure, buddy.
The monarch is threatened by Wide Whale for being in costume because civilian business partners are also in attendance. To which Copycat offers Monarch a suit from his apartment, and we find out Copycat's other skill.
Copying
himself. He can make copies of himself. So he can both smooth talk his way with this slimy sort of skeevy cadence, but also make copies of himself. You said it. Meanwhile, across the street, Dean is working on his entrance.
He's writing his essay,
which Brock says his reads like a suicide note.
To be fair, most do.
And to be fair, Dean's life has been real fucking depressing. And he's trying so hard to help him. He really is. He tells him, okay, instead of forced in learning beds that lock from the outside, how about in a very prestigious private school? Like, you know, spin it. Instead of drag to Kingdom Come, try a learned traveler. Like, you know. And
he's finessing the essay.
Yeah, to put it as Dean says it, he doesn't like lying, but Brock says it's called spin, Dean. Trust me.
Technically, none of that is actually a lie.
No, it's spin.
It's finesse.
I've seen enough of the British political comedy in the thick of it to know what spin is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, White, Billy, and Doc are trying to figure out what that thing was that Billy let loose into the pipes.
And subsequently, what up Dean's butt?
Yeah, it's not silver goo, robot water, or magic water. They figure it out, though. It's Ventec Biobot Series 5. They're nanobots!
Well done, guys.
They did it! They figured it out. Like, you know...
It only took forever. And now they have an unknown test subject.
And Billy piecing the bile back together. Like... I like silver goo and robot water the best.
Oh, yeah.
As
I also like silver goo.
Silver goo. Back at Tophet Tower across the way, Monarch is being very much tricked by Copycat. Not quite sure what Copycat's endgame is.
It's not anything good.
It's nothing good, but he has stolen Monarch's costume and tranquilized him.
Everybody's on the tranks, man.
And has gone over to Ventec, where he just straight up assaults Sergeant Hatred by duplicating himself to a bomb-ass West Side Story _ Thirlwell. Yes.
Iconic.
This is why we need a volume 3.
Yes.
I want that underscore in my life.
Hit me with the volume 3.
Come on. We know you have more Venture Tunes for us. Come on.
But give maybe us, one give after, us that. After the special.
Maybe after the movie we'll get one.
Yeah.
A
3 and a movie soundtrack. Mm. Spicy.
Mm, that would be spicy. Dean and Brock are studying, and Dean starts acting weird.
He starts wigging out. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely
bonkers.
It's partially because Billy and White, they are unknowingly controlling the nanobots.
Oops.
Through
we can Dean's just move them around.
Bond. We can just move them around. They cure an ulcer. In the wrong hands, they could stop a man's heart.
Oops.
In the right hands, they could revive it. They can build up the adrenal glands and give him extra strength. And they could download the complete knowledge of the internet. And he's reading Gilgamesh in Babylonian. To which, after all of this happens, because they're demonstrating it, thinking it's a little video game tutorial. That they are using like an Xbox controller to control it. After
Brock tranks the crap out of Dean.
Brock tranks the crap out of Dean and calls Doc to tell him that Dean has been possessed.
Not again.
Dean has been possessed. Call Dr. Orpheus. We need an exorcist. He started speaking Babylonian. That was their clue.
I mean, yeah, that
they found the nanobots.
That would be a pretty good indication of possession, though, too. I mean, I've seen The Exorcist.
Yeah. But he's lifting him up, he died, and he restarted his heart and vomited and all this stuff.
It was very Exorcist.
It was. It was. It could be possession or it could be
beautiful callbacks to that movie.
It could be possession or it could be nanobots.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
I think it's mostly nanobots, though.
I think it's mostly nanobots.
Back with Copycat, he is pissing on the Venture's couch because that's the old Monarch charm, and he has got Dr. Mrs. watching it happen from a telescope. I really don't know his endgame. Like, I've seen the whole series. I do not understand Copycat's endgame.
Pissing off Dr. the Mrs.? I mean...
No, I don't know, because it's not that. Like,
I mean, he does solidly piss her off, though, because...
He's taking
a leak on the couch.
A leak on the couch, and he makes the Monarch ignore her calls. That's the nail in the coffin,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, just... Rude.
Don't ignore your wife's calls.
No.
This
is just life advice. Do not ignore your wife's significant other's phone calls. Even if you can't answer, shoot him a text.
Also, while this is going on, Hank walks in on Red Mantle, Dragoon, and Redusa causing, and Redusa does shrink Dragoon's head on accident. Or she doesn't do three ways. Okay? That pretty much means Red Mantle's out of luck with her.
Poor Red Mantle.
Oh, and one thing I meant to mention while they're doing the nanobot control, they couldn't call him back, which leads to Billy and White having an argument over basic tech support, which is something that I have done multiple times with various people in my life. Because there's something about tech not working that just makes your patience dwindle very quickly.
It's the issue with tech not working, and then I've found that it's generally been not being able to speak the same lingo.
Yeah,
as tech
support.
Billy and Pete
can. Because they're arguing with each other over it. They're like, I'm jiggling the wire.
But then you have, like, two people who think they know what they're doing. And I do mean think they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who both have different ideas, and that's a whole other different avenue. But I have found that in my, you know, in current life, it's generally been that whoever I am doing tech support for just can't explain what they want in a way that tech support understands. Or more often than not, my father, because I'm the one who's relaying what's going on to my dad.
But hey, at least they figured out where the nanobots were. Admits they're arguing. The Monarch, back in his regular clothes, is outside a Tophet Tower when he regains consciousness, and his wife is furious. Because he apparently violated guild laws and ignored her calls.
Both and, big no-nos.
And he doesn't even know where his phone is, except for it's right there. And it's Henchman 21 telling him the best news ever. Manolo got the Morphomobile working again.
We love Manolo.
He's indispensable.
I mean, he's rehabbing Henchman the house.
Henchman Uno all the way.
He's renovating the house. He's a car mechanic. He's got some pretty solid life advice.
He's not Mr. Feeny.
He's a nice, trustworthy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
We love Manolo.
But Monarch needs a ride because Dr. Mrs. has left very angrily without him.
To be fair, if I was in her shoes, I would have done the same. Too.
I probably would have too.
Like you can take the goddamn bus.
Could take the PATH train back home.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care.
Go grab the SEPTA.
Avoid
the one that has people getting stabbed on it.
Yeah. Or don't. I don't care.
I mean, welcome to SEPTA. That's every train.
Later, Serena is in her room watching TV, which the show she is watching is Follow That Bikini, which has this whole backstory of Jonas Venture Sr. had done the green screen work for it, had developed the tech to do the green screen, and also that was who he had been sleeping with when Rusty saw his penis.
There is so much to unpack with that.
And Rusty had a crush on her. And then there's like cut scenes of her, of him having had relations with her at some point in season 3. It was, yeah. It's a whole thing that Jackson has tried desperately to get into the show for
in any
years.
Way he can.
And he finally did it. He finally got Follow That Bikini in.
I'm so proud.
There you go. There's your tidbit of knowledge. But she's watching a movie and there stumbles Hank onto the balcony. They have a brief interaction, which, I mean, Hank is pretty smooth. We've never have really seen his...
Look, someone had to inherit Jonas Sr.'s, you know,
suaveness.
Charm. Yeah, it may as well be God, Hank, because he does not have much
God knows,
going for him.
Because God knows Rusty didn't.
Hank doesn't have much more going for him, so you go, boy. Get in there.
I like his...
I'm rooting for you, buddy.
His quick escape is really smooth. He just jumps off the building when they hear Rocco.
And that's impressive.
It was impressive. And then he just shows up in the GoPod. And this episode ends on the line, "So we have a date." Hank is finally getting a girl.
I'm so proud of him.
Dean has thus far had the romances. Now it's time for Hank to get a little bit of action. And the end credits scene show us that nanobots are not all bad. While they're painful to pass through your urethra, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, while they're extremely painful to pass through your urethra, they made their first miracle. Dean got into Stuyvesant University.
God help them.
And that is the end of Faking Miracles. This is sort of where we get into some really hardcore serialization that I don't think we've really had before.
Mm-hmm.
Like big season over arcs. Like we've kind of had that, but not really.
We've had general, like we've had some nice big storylines, but nothing that's as episodic as this.
No, it really gets episodic. Like you gotta be like, on you could normally jump in on an episode in any season and sort of get the gist of it. But with these, they really start to get into their own universe that they've created, which, I mean, good on them because they've made this really expansive, rich playground to play in.
I know. And I love that they're taking advantage of that and playing in it.
Yeah, they're playing in it.
They're making a mess.
They're creating new scenarios.
They're slinging mud pies. It's like their own personal sandbox.
Yeah, it's great.
I really like that idea that it's Doc and Jackson are just two kids playing with action figures in a sandbox.
It's more of a tree fort, the Astro Base. It's tree fort.
Tree fort, but it has a sandbox at the bottom.
One of those like really, really nice tree forts.
Yeah. Maybe a ball pit.
Maybe a ball pit. Definitely a robot.
But like a Dashcon ball pit.
Yeah. yeah. If anyone has seen the image of someone did the Dashcon ball pit but put 21 and 24 in it.
God.
If anyone's seen that, that is what happens. That is absolutely how they write these episodes.
Yes. It's them dressed up as 21 and 24 in a ball pit.
Which is fitting because it's Halloween and everyone's dressing up in costume.
Not me. I'm going to go make myself some more tea.
One thing I did not mention is this is the only time we see Donald Trump. He is at the villain party. This is the only time we see him. He's in the background. When they were doing production, they had no idea any of what happened was going to happen. So they couldn't undo it.
You can't undo it because
it was too late. It was there. And I mean, at least he's in the background at a villain party.
It's just.
But I will say they've been on the record as fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, if you had any qualms, if you had any illusions about where we two stood.
Yeah, we're all on the record as fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, next time. Next week on our thrilling adventure, we look at Rapacity in Blue. Get more into the blue morpho. End it like we always do?
I think we shall.
Go Team Venture. We love you guys. Happy Halloween.
Have a great night.